Happy New Year. I'd like to welcome you to the first stop of Bob Wright's Highway 420 Roster Ride Road Trip. We're in Redondo Beach, California today. We've been down here for a couple weeks for the holidays. And we're getting ready to kick this road trip off. We're going all across the United States. Today we're going to be cheaping on some of my own homegrown Ella Kush with some of those blue collar dabs, Reggie's Cosmic Kush snap and pull, and that stuff is coming in at 75.6 total cannabs with 67 milligrams per serving. CBD is too low to test, so not getting very many CBD from that, but getting a pretty hefty dose of CBD or THC. So, and we're gonna go ahead and do a review on both of those strains. I haven't been able to do much on Ella Kush, but I can give you my own take on it. So there's that to look forward to. I bought my Reggie's Cosmic Kush at Canna King in Roseburg, Oregon, who is probably the best bang for your buck around that area. I bought the Reggie's for $10 a gram, and, it's not bad dabs. Quality is not the greatest, but, when you're in a pinch and you need some dabs, you know what I mean? There you go, boom, Reggie's. Where it's at. So once again, I'd like to say thanks for joining me on my cross-country roster ride road trip. Enjoy the show. We'll be back after the short break with our first installment of Prying Open My Third Eye, where I think that we'll explore our first experiences with ganja, our first little smoke sessions, and our, first experiences with it. You know, whether it's first time you saw it, first time you saw your parents or your older siblings, or younger siblings, paraphernalia, or whatever. I call that prying open your third eye. Thanks to Tool. And that being said, we'll be back after the short break. Alright, welcome back. In this segment, it's called Prying Open My Third Eye, or something like that. Prying Open My Third Eye. I call that the first time that you really understood that pot was not bad. Or maybe just your first experiences with it. Hell, I don't know. I know that my first experiences were in the 80s and 90s in Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign. We really failed that motherfucker, didn't we? Yeah. And if it wasn't for that Just Say No campaign and the cop that came into the classrooms with his little briefcase full of drugs, I probably wouldn't be sitting here doing this right now. smoking on my own home, bro. Talking to you. So thank you, officer. Whoever you are. No, but seriously, what a flop that was. You think any kid in my neighborhood would have seen crack or known what crack was if it wasn't a boost like that? I mean, it's a possibility, but I highly doubt it. I can remember watching an MTV program about somebody who got prison time for LSD. And they were explaining the drug and its effects. And I told myself that if I didn't even smoke pot, I wanted to try that. Kind of fun. Not sure why, but it did. And stuff is fun. In a safe and secure environment.
Ding.
Now, I'm not sure how many people out there's parents smoke, but I know that my mom did. My dad did back in the 70s. I'm not sure about the 60s, but, and, you know, my dad did the right thing. He didn't smoke, so he could have a job, a good paying job, but he drank a lot, so I don't know. I feel like he probably would have drank the same amount because, you know, his story was, when I was growing up, was always, you know, we weren't running around trying to get high, we're just running around trying to find some beer. Like that was any better than me going and trying to find some acid or some pot. Hey, I'm not here to judge. I love everybody. So, with that being said, let's talk about my first experiences with it. And I can remember my mom was probably the first experience that I had with it. And I can remember her and her friends taking me on, back in the 80s and 90s, the thing to do was just cruise around. So my mom would cruise, and her friends would cruise. You know, they'd all be smoking. My mom smoked cigarettes, you know what I mean? And she smoked, it was the 80s, you know, so she smoked in the car. I think it was, you know, probably mandatory. You know, you got a kid, alright, you're smoking the goddamn car. And, but I knew that it smelled different than cigarettes, but I just thought it was cigarettes. I was never told any different. But as I grew up, excuse me, that one got me. As I grew up, I began to realize things just weren't adding up. Why are you rolling that thing when you have a pack of cigarettes over here, Mom? And I don't think I really ever caught her rolling and showing. Oh yeah, probably. I never caught her. She just did it in front of me like it was nothing real. God love my mom. You know. but my first time ever smoking was a very unique experience. And, you know, I didn't really feel the effects of it. I didn't get high, I don't believe. But it started out, I was 11 years old. It was November of 1993. And I was in the town of Clarks Hill, Indiana, population probably at the time about 700 people, give or take a few. And we were drinking some beers, you know. That was the thing to do in small town Indiana. What'd you do? You go find some beers. Buddy's dad left some beers in the back of his truck. What'd we do? I hated beer. So I was the dude that was just standing there with a beer in my hand, casually sipping it. My friends, on the other hand, Tommy and Ryan, were getting it pretty inebriated. And in their inebriated state, they decided that it was going to be a good idea to huff gas. So, peer pressure being the bitch that it is, I partook. And they decided that wasn't good enough, so we were gonna go smoke some pot. So one of them got a hold of their cousin, and we were standing outside of his window freezing, because November in Indiana in 1993 was pretty cold. So cousin was sitting inside while we were all standing outside smoking out of a copper fitting pipe, I believe what it was, some sort of like that. And my friend said the funniest thing that stuck to me this day. Ryan said, "Oh, the cherry, it tastes like cherries." And I was like, "Yeah, it tastes like cherries." Didn't really taste like much of anything, but just smoking a plant, I guess. But pot became our thing, me and Ryan. We would smoke all the time. All the time. Well, all the time being on the weekend, we'd get an eighth, and that would last us for about a month. Smoking on the weekends. And that was just the greatest time. You guys can think back on, you know, some of the first times that you were smoking with your friends, you know. Everything was so funny. I could never stop laughing. Oh, how times have changed. Now I use it more for medication purposes than anything. But that's all right. Happens. You know, I can remember snooping around as a kid and finding all different types of paraphernalia my parents had. You know, and I don't know about your parents, but my parents always kept Crown Royal bags full of paraphernalia. My mom did anyways. Like I said, my dad didn't smoke. But I will tell you this, my dad did keep a bong that was about a 3-foot bong that was blue and it was multi-chambered and it had these tubes that came out of the chambers and went into the other chambers and came out and went to the other chambers, and it was the coolest thing, and I had no clue what it was. Really kind of just thought it was the like a rocket ship or some sort of weird ass toy that my dad had when he was a kid, because I always found stuff like that in that room. But it wasn't. And later on in life, I came home from a night of bowling with friends. Bowling in quotations. I was probably pretty drunk at that point in time. I was in high school at this time. And I was sitting on the kitchen table, and they all were sitting around the table smoking. My dad swears that he wasn't smoking, but his eyes sure were pretty bloodshot. And I think that's funny. You know, speaking of the copper pipes, my uncle smoked out of them. He swore by them. I always thought that was the funniest thing, man. He swore by those things. I doubt he smokes out of them anymore, but he probably uses a one-hander in his old age now, but I don't know. My mom, on the other hand, that's a whole nother story altogether. And as this podcast goes on and I interview more of my friends, you'll understand why I say that, because my mom was pretty integral in the way I view pot and but I remember throughout life, you know, my mom and I, we moved a couple times. I lived with my mom mostly for the early part of my life, and they put in the, you know, my mom would always have the one pipe. It was just the one pipe she always had, man. And it was a steamroller, glass steamroller, and it was about 18 inches long. And it had a pipe, about a 3-inch bowl on it. I mean, that bowl was huge. And it had a rainbow on it, and pipe's name was Rosie. I ended up finding out later, but I can remember finding that thing in multiple places throughout my life growing up. You know, yeah, Zigzag Man was also another huge part of my early childhood. Earlier this week, we had a really cool conversation with Kyle Doc Stevens, who's going to be doing our pro tip of the week next episode. He was in Ashland, Oregon, picking up some autumnflower seeds, and the guys were a little late, so he had a little bit of an opportunity to call and have about a 15-minute conversation. We talked about some of his pot smoking experiences at a young age and how he kind of had his third eye opened to pot. But before that, we're going to get to the recipe of the week by Chef Bong RD. And for this first installment, we're going to go with the classic pot brownie, the quintessential edible that everybody knows about. We'll hear from him next. What up, what up, what up? This is Chef Bong RD's Stoner Recipes. Today we're going to be making the quintessential stoner edible.
the pot brownie. They've been a symbol of weed edibles for decades. And, you know, they're the most popular cannabis and food infused food ever. Coffee shops in Amsterdam have been selling them for ages. And they go by names such as Space Cakes, Moon Bites, Weed Brownies, etc. We can credit this ingenious discovery to a woman named Mary Jane Rathburn. Brownie Mary was what she was called. And, you know, she was really, she was the woman who helped, you know, during the AIDS epidemic with helping people who were sick get the medication they needed, you know. Here at Bob's Highway 420 Roster Ride Road Trip, you know, we like to smoke weed to get stoned, but we also believe in its medical benefits. So, medicate, don't hate. So anyways, we're gonna go ahead and get started with this recipe here. You're gonna need a plastic mixing bowl, a stainless steel cake pan, a whisk, metal wire rack, and for your ingredients, you're going to need 1 cup of sugar, 3/4 cups cocoa powder, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, a pinch of salt, 2 tablespoons of water, 1 stick of cannabis butter, which I will give you the recipe for here in a minute, and let's see, 2 large eggs, a bit over 1/3 cup of flour, and some sort of topping, like chocolate or caramel or caramel or whatever. Okay. First thing you're going to do is make your cannabis butter. And let's go ahead and get the recipe for that real quick. It only takes a sec. So for this, you're going to need about 1 pound of butter, which is 4 sticks of butter, and the amount of weed you put in there is up to you. If you got some really swaggy weed, you might want to put a lot in there. If you got some good bud, maybe you might want to put a little bit in there. It just depends. This recipe calls for 7 to 10 grams, hopefully 15% THC. But you can put however much you want. Brownie Mary was actually putting 5 ounces of weed in there per pound. Supposedly that's what I was reading. So to decarb your cannabis, you need to bake your lightly grounded cannabis flowers for about 30 minutes at 250 degrees Fahrenheit. And later on in this series, we will get on you're basically going to know everything about pot. We're going to tell you about decarbing. We're going to tell you about everything that you need to know. You know, so don't worry about what decarbing is right now. Just know that it's an important process to make edibles. Second step is you're going to boil your water. Okay, so first step, you're going to grind your cannabis, and then you're going to bake it for 30 minutes. You're gonna want to put a thin layer all the way across the whole top of your baking pan to make sure that it all gets evenly. Every piece of flour is affected by the heat. So then you're gonna boil water. You're gonna put 4 cups of water in a semi-deep cooking pot and bring it to a boil, and then add add your butter, 4 sticks of butter, 1 pound of butter. Wait for the butter to melt, and all the while you're doing this, you need to stir it and keep mixing the pot. Stir it. So then you're going to add your decarbed marijuana into the pot, your decarbed cannabis into the pot, and lower the temperature and simmer the mixture for 20 to 30 minutes without boiling. After this, you're going to strain the mixture through the cheesecloth into a glass bowl or a jar and leave it on top of the cheesecloth to strain. The bulk of the plant material should be in the cheesecloth. You want to store this in the fridge for about 5 to 6 hours. So I suggest that you make ample time to prepare this. So do it like the day before, or do it, in the morning, and then in the afternoon you can make your brownies for, dinner at night or whatever, so you can medicate or whatever. And then you cut the butter out. You use a knife to cut it out, and you can remelt it in a microwave. The butter is going to form a crust on top of the, and it's going to separate from the water, so it's going to be butter on top and the water on the bottom. And you just cut the butter out, and cut it up, put it however you want to do it. So that's how you make canna butter. So your second step in your brownie making process is going to be, you're going to preheat your oven to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Grease your brownie pan with regular butter, and I suggest use a stainless steel pan that will prevent your brownies from sticking. Add your sugar, cocoa, vanilla, salt, water, and canna butter to the mixing bowl and whisk to blend all the ingredients together. Add your eggs. One at a time. Remember, you're putting 2 large eggs in, beating them as hard as you can with a whisk until the mixture is glossy. Add flour to the bowl and whisk the entire mixture for about 3 minutes. Bake the mix for about 20 to 30 minutes, just like any other brownies. And then you can find out whether they're done by poking them with a toothpick until it comes out clean. Cut. Move the brownies to a wire rack, boom, cool down. Then you put your toppings on, smash that shit. Bon appetit. Up next will be my interview with Doc. And there will be no pro tip of the week. But no, next week there will be a pro tip. And, if you go to our Facebook page, you can see, we will upload pictures of our plants and stuff like that for you guys to see. So you can know that we do know what we're talking about a little bit when it comes to growing and stuff like that. So we'll be back after this.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's happening?
Not much.
I was gonna try and make it up there, but guys are running a little bit late, so I can't get to like 4:45.
Right.
You want to do a recording? Or something?
Oh shit, we're already recording. What the fuck you mean? We're live.
Nice. That's what's up.
A segment where, like, you know what I mean? I can talk about your first experiences with pot, you know what I mean? Like, like, first time you ever really saw it in your life, you know what I mean? Like, I know that mine was like a just say no shit when they brought that little fucking suitcase in full of drugs and shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like, man, if it wasn't for that thing, like, you think of fucking a little kid in my neighborhood, you know what I mean? Like, suburban America, like, would have ever seen crack cocaine?
No.
Right.
No. Right. I wonder if they do that. They still bring a suitcase full of drugs at the show.
I don't think so. I think they probably fucking, yeah, scrap that shit a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny, because that's kind of, yeah, I remember that, and then I remember, I don't know, there was just so much ditch weed that grew in Indiana, along the highways, and, like, in our backyard, and so it was, like, I just deleted it, you know, the pot leaves were everywhere, and then it kind of related to that, and I remember we, like, took a bunch of it, and cut a bunch of it down, like, hung it up, dried it. We thought we had, like, bomb. We're like, yes, we've got something.
Just
garbage.
This is the bomb weed right here, bro. He's like, fucking bitch weed.
Yep.
My mom got busted with some of that shit. Remember that?
I don't know
if it was, like, you know what I mean? This was, I think, like, I don't know. We're going to leave names out of it, but there was somebody... It was somebody who lived in, one of the kids that lived in Coppergate.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, and they were, like, strict on it. It didn't even matter if it was, like, actual weed.
Yeah. They're like, those motherfuckers literally planted that shit back in the 30s and 40s there, but, you know, now you can get busted for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that, you know, that was back in the, that was, like, 2000s, you know what I mean? This shit's changed so much now, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was like two different kinds of ditchweed. There was like a weird short flowering one in the actual ditches, and then there was the hemp that they grew back years ago. And those plants, I remember finding, and then we found a field of those, and we were like, oh, this is it. You know, these are 8-foot plants. Monster, beautiful. Middle of the night, and it was dark, so, you know, it looked like weed, but then we got it all home, and it was like basically a weed crust with pine cones. It was horrible. Oh, man, so funny.
Did you ever walk in on your old man smoking? I mean, I'm sure you did a million times, probably fucking knowing your dad, but...
Yeah, you know... I did, but it wasn't really like, he only smoked out of, you know, his one hitter.
Right.
So he was pretty sneaky about it.
Right, but you always hear that, ting, ting, ting.
Yep, yeah. Right. You know, it took a minute to, like, relate that to what was really going on. It was like that moment that I found out, you know, the one hitter off the best tray.
My stepsister asked my mom one time, because we used to have these, like, stupid-ass family meetings, you know what I mean? And, like, she'd be like, they'd be like, do you guys have any questions for us? You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the meeting, after we got bitched at for an hour, you know? she's like, yeah, what's that ding-ding-ding we hear every night? she's like, my mom snapped. She's like, that's for adults, and that happens after your bedtime, so you shouldn't ask about stuff that happens after your bedtime. I was like, Right, yeah.
I'll
die in on the warpath.
Yeah, we never really got bitched at about it. I remember our buddy Ryan Paul and Boog. Coming in one time, big fat sack in his pocket, in his front back pocket.
Yeah.
And like, jacket. And I'm like, that's all tall, so he looks from down in his pocket as soon as he walks in the door, just snags that bag right out of his pocket. I'm like, oh, thanks. Walks away.
Oh,
that's pretty much him bitching at us, like, yeah, here, I'm gonna take your weed if I find it.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do, you know what I mean, like...
I eventually went and said, hey, I want that back, as he's rolling a joint out of it.
Right.
And you know him, he's like, feet, stems, sticks, everything goes in there.
everything.
All
fucking Richard.
Oh, so good.
Hell yeah. I remember my mom used to she keep the Crown Royal bag full of weed, or her parents know you, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It was always in a fucking Crown Royal bag.
Yeah, she would have a little stash. And my dad's stashes I always found were like old stashes he'd obviously forgot about. It was just like really old.
Right, yeah.
But then once we found the stash in the truck and we were able to rob that, that's where we found it, you know.
Oh, I remember that. That was that White Widow you found, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was so good. Yeah. It was always in a film container.
Hey, I remember you fucking kept that filming container around. We just fucking open it up and smell it after we.
That's some of the best weed I've ever smoked, honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty good, bud.
That was really good weed, and for those times,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, for Indiana.
Yeah, for Indiana, and then 20 years ago, I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah,
we,
good stuff.
Back then though, we had all RDDNs.
Oh man, the windowsill weed.
Yep.
Grab some windowsill in the morning.
Yep.
Bring it to school.
Bring it to school.
Skunky too. Oh, skunky.
That was our friend Ray Cheney. His old man grew weed out in the fields in Indiana. He'd fucking grab bud every morning, and he'd always fucking end up giving it to somebody.
Yeah, and it was the stinkiest green bud.
Yeah.
It was like North Lights, and he grew a few cities.
Looked like fucking Christmas fucking trees. With man. Only advantages.
Yeah. God, they were so beautiful. Bright green.
Yeah.
Bright green.
How old were you when you first started smoking?
Probably like 13.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 13, 14.
Yeah.
You know, I was hanging out in the apartment complex.
Ooh.
Country View.
Yeah, Country View.
Before they had the police station in there.
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, we'd all meet up at the basketball court, and so, you know, there's all the older guys there playing basketball with us.
Right.
We kind of hung out with them, and we're smoking at a pretty early age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best of that. I was smoking and drinking it, you know, real early.
Right.
Too early.
Right.
Then old Boog's mom, she was just cool, you know, she let us puff and do whatever you want to, just don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we grew our first plants.
Got
a bag seed there when we were like maybe 15.
Right.
14. Yeah, we can blame Country View for me loving weed so much.
Yeah, you can blame Clarksville, Indiana for me loving weed so much.
I mean, you come from that much dirt around you.
Yeah. You ask any farmer in Indiana, they'll tell you that's the best dirt in the world.
Yeah, some of it for sure. It's like you buy it in a bag anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. Just black, dark, rich soil.
It's really funny that you say that black, because like we were coming up from LA last night, yesterday, and where are we at? I think we're right outside Stockton, where it gets really hilly, and they have like those fields and shit, and then all those cows and shit are out there. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
On I-5 and
smells like ass.
Right. I saw a field out there and my eyes was playing tricks on me. But like I was almost about to be like, man, that dirt is the same color as the dirt in Indiana. But it was like they had put bags over the ground or whatever right there, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I was like, oh shit. I was like, good thing I didn't fucking say anything because I was wrong in it. So.
Yeah,
I'm not.
And it's like that, though, just when they till that soil up.
Yeah.
And it's just mounds of black. Crazy how nice that soil is. And that's one reason they had grown really good weed out there. Mm-hmm. Some of the best weed I've ever grown come right out of that soil.
Right.
I mean, that's good stuff.
Use my new bong.
Nice! Yeah, you sent me a shot of that.
Yeah, that's
sweet.
I think it's called Bong Melon. Like blind melon, but different.
Nice. Yep. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I just saw a picture today that Chris Farley and me did that skit on Saturday night.
Yeah, I listen to, I don't know, man, sometimes on Facebook or whatever you see people post shit, and somebody posted a video of Adam Sandler singing the Chris Farley song. Have you heard that? It's pretty good. You need to check that out. He talks about the B-girl and the living in a van down by the river, and he even brings up the... You remember the coffee skit where they're like the hidden camera skit where they're like, sir, you just drank 100% premium Colombian decaf crystals, and he's like, what? I only drink Folgers, and then like starts fucking going off and fucking people and shit, and they're like beating him over the head with a fucking.
Everybody should go watch that. Oh, man. Well, hey, I hate to cut you short, but I'm actually up here. I've got to meet this guy and grab seeds. Get these rolling for us for the springtime, trying out some new autos.
Right. And,
we'll see what
happens. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, this is, Kyle Doc Stevens, and he's going to be doing the pro tip of the week for everybody. He's up here in Oregon right now picking up some auto flower seeds.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun bucket.
Oh, yeah. All right, Doc. Sure.
Thanks for joining me on this cross country shenanigans, bananigans. I'd like to do a huge shout out to Canna King Dispensary in Roseburg, Oregon. I won their December bong raffle, and they held that mug for me for about 3 or 4 days. They usually only hold it for 24 hours, so that's really cool. That's some big ups. Big ups, Canna King. If you guys want to check out a picture of that, it'll be up on our website, or not our website, excuse me, on our Facebook later on today. And also, we're going to get an Instagram up, and so you'll be able to follow us there. Might even start a Twitter account. I don't know. I have a lot going on. Rehash band. Rehash. They're a band. We're going to do 2 strain reviews next week. So you guys have that to look forward to. And I'm spaced out there for a minute. So we're not going to do a strain review this week or a grow tip. Next episode, next stop is going to be full of nothing but grow tips. I'm going to call Doc, and we're going to have us a nice little conversation down on the farm. And, we're going to go through everything. Anything you guys want to know. Obviously, not everything, but it's going to be fun. Shenanigans, bananigans, abounds. So with That being said, I want you guys to just know that the Illa Kush and the Cosmic Kush, just a beast niche. Thanks for joining me on my cross country shenanigans. Next week, we're going to work on getting more of the bugs worked out. Also, you guys can look forward to interviews with different dispensary owners and different people, growers, farmers, trimmers in the industry. Next week, I'm going to try to get the owner of Canna King on there. So join us next week as we head back to home base in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, to tie up some loose ends. Never really realized, but a lot goes into planning a cross-country trip. So we need to just tie up all the loose ends. We'll be heading out. First stop is back down to Redondo Beach to get the camper that we left there. And then we'll probably be heading east. Probably first stop will be probably somewhere in, probably somewhere on I-10. And we're just going to go from there. I hope you guys are ready for the fun, and I am. And join us as we next week as we talk about what goes on at the farm, and we're gonna talk a little bit about how pot culture was in the late 90s for us kids. We were teenagers. Me and Doc were teenagers. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And also, we'll have another recipe for you. Chef's cooking something up right now in the kitchen. Isn't that right, Chef? So on behalf of Doc and Chef, this is Bob. And until next stop, don't bogart that joint, my friend. And please, can't we all just smoke a bong? Thanks. Good night. And as always, the beats on today's podcast were created by myself using an app called
Groove Pad.
Groove Pad is a looping app program that artists put loops on, and you can go in and make your own beats with royalty free as long as you give them some credit. Here's your credit, GroovePad. Check them out. They're available on Google Play. And as always, thank you for joining us on this first stop of Bob Wright's Highway 420 Cross the Ride road trip. Next week, we'll be in Myrtle Creek. Full on, hit you hard. Knowledge, grow knowledge from Dr. Greentham, from Doc. We're gonna tell you how it is. So join us next week. Peace.